While 2020 was a year of earth-shattering consequences for the filmmaking industry, a number of locally produced films were still able to make a splash, both here in Hawaii and on the national award circuit. Today we hear from one such local filmmaker whose work is being celebrated at the Sundance Film Festival. Christopher Makoto Yogi's new film, I Was a Simple Man, deals with the complex issues of identity and sense of place in an ever-changing Hawaii. He shared his thoughts about the film with the conversation's producer, Harrison Patino.
The film, I Was a Simple Man, is a story of an old Japanese man who's living in the countryside on Oahu and who's on his deathbed and visited by the ghosts of his past. So it's a film about a man in Hawaii at the end of his life sort of facing his mortality and looking back on the life that he's lived. It was inspired, and for me, by my personal experience with death in the family. There was a period in my life where I was quickly losing a lot of family members, and it was a very disorienting time. And just the experience of being in the room with someone who's at the edge of their life, someone who's passing over, was just an experience that really stayed with me. It was one that I found very, very unsettling, kind of terrifying. But at the same time, like now looking back on it, it was something very beautiful to witness. And so I really just wanted to make a film that captured that feeling of being in the room with someone who's passing on, that sort of haunting, beautiful experience that I felt in those rooms when my family members were passing away.
Now, your film, I Was a Simple Man, will be debuting at the Sundance Film Festival. So what's it like to represent Hawaii through film to a global audience?
Oh, I mean, it's such an incredible opportunity. My work for the past 10 years has been about really exploring my personal experiences in Hawaii, my memories of home, my feelings of home, trying to portray home in a way that feels honest, in a way that feels lived in, feels tactile, specific. All of these things are very, very important to me. And to be able to then show this vision of Hawaii to the world is just a huge, huge, I just feel such gratitude to have the opportunity. Everybody knows the sort of postcard image of Hawaii, but then to then supplement that with something that's personal, that's really lived in, I think people will get a lot out of that.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. Hollywood portrayals tend to use Hawaii more as a backdrop than as a living, breathing place. For you, is depicting Hawaii in an authentic way, is that really important as a filmmaker?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm of the sort of belief that there isn't really one specific monolithic image of Hawaii. Like it's diverse, it's complicated, it's everyone, there's so many different stories, so many different cultures, so many different histories, and there's such a rich culture and history to explore. And so I feel like what I'm trying to add is just add my personal take on what I feel Hawaii means to me, and that I think is really cool to be able to add that to the conversation, so that it's not just, like you said, the sort of backdrop postcard sort of luxury tourism commercial that everyone sort of knows, but something that's again more honest to my experience. And there's so many different filmmakers working in Hawaii now that it's really exciting time, because it's so varied, the work. It's so everyone is sort of telling their own story, and to see it all together then gives like this very multidimensional sort of vision of home that's very beautiful.
So as with all things these days, COVID-19 had an effect on the making of this film. Can you tell us a little bit about how the pandemic impacted the filmmaking process?
Yeah, we luckily we shot the film in 2019. So we shot in the summer of 2019. By the time 2020 rolled around, we had the film in the can. Which is, I have friends who were in the middle of shooting or were just about to start shooting when everything locked down, and I really feel for them. I mean, that must have been a tough experience. But luckily, we did have the film in the can. So what it did affect was our post production process, and so because of COVID, we had to do a lot of the work that would normally be done in person. We had to do it remotely. So for example, we had to do our sound mix remotely. We had to do some dialogue recording remotely. We had to do color correction remotely. And all of these things were tough, because usually with color correction, you're sitting in a room in a theater, you're looking at the colorists really doing their work to change the color, and you're kind of working in real time. Whereas because of the remote nature of the working, I was, you know, we were looking at iPads and kind of talking on the phone, and you're kind of wondering, am I looking, is what the color I'm looking at exactly the color you're looking at? You know, it's like there's this little disconnect that makes it a little bit tricky. But we got through it. The only thing is that it just took much longer than it normally would. So something that probably would have taken a month takes maybe three times or four times as long.
Now, you've said that you hope this film allows for self-reflection. The topic of introspection is a common thread in your films. Can you explain that thread and what it means to you?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that the films that have really moved me over the course of my life, the films that have really, you know, made me want to make films, the ones that have really changed how I view the world, were the ones that forced me to look inside myself, or forced me or asked of me to bring a little bit of myself to the film and sort of meet the film halfway, so that it's almost as if I'm in dialogue with the film, as opposed to just the film is telling me a story and I'm kind of just a passive observer, just letting the story wash over me. And so these kind of cinematic works that encourage a dialogue are really the films that, you know, the ones that have stayed with me over the years. And so I'm always trying to make work that does the same, that asks of the audience to bring a little bit of themselves and meet the film halfway, to do a little bit of work, I guess, while they're watching the film, which maybe doesn't sound like the most fun, but I think ultimately, you know, using the cinema space as one in which people can have a transformational experience, have a experience that changes the way they view the world, I think that's invaluable. And so it's what we strive for when we're making movies.
Now, another common thread in your films is this examination of identity, and identity is always a complex topic in Hawaii. Is identity an important part of what you want to interrogate or maybe explore as a filmmaker?
You know, I don't think that's something that maybe I know consciously, but now that you say it, I can see what you're saying. I think that search for meaning is definitely something that is important to me as just a person, a human existing in the world. I'm someone who's very much a searcher, someone who's very much trying to look within myself to find greater meaning. And so I think a lot of that personal sort of journey gets the film is imbued with that part of my personality, I think. As far as identity, I'm not totally sure, but I do know that there's just the best films have a very I think that have a specificity of culture, have a specificity of place, and so I'm always trying to ground the films in something that's very specific to the place or specific to the characters and who they are, and I think that's where maybe the sort of cultural identity things come through. But I'm not totally sure. It's something I'll think about.
Well, maybe the most important question for our audience is, one, how can people watch the film? And two, what is it you hope that audiences will walk away from after watching this film?
The film is screening virtually. Sundance is virtual this year, which is great. I mean, just the ability for people from all over the country to be able to, you know, quote-unquote, attend Sundance and watch these films that, you know, in regular years would only be available to a select few people who could afford a ticket to go to Park City, afford to get up, say, one of these expensive lodgings. But now it's, you know, for a price of a movie ticket, anybody can watch these premieres. Beyond that, the film will then be touring other film festivals. I'm looking forward to the day that I can bring the film home and watch it with audiences at home, with the people who helped make the film. That's going to be a very, very special day. So fingers crossed that by the time we do that, you know, cinemas are open and we're able to watch it in a theater. That would be, you know, that's my dream right now. That's what I'm looking forward to.
That was filmmaker Christopher Makoto Yogi talking with The Conversation's Harrison Patino about his new film, I Was a Simple Man. It can be seen virtually at this year's Sundance Film Festival, but heads up, the festival only runs through tomorrow.